Welcome to Sundays with Montrose Bible Church. We're glad you're here to join us in a study of God's Word.
Accusing you, and you can't get rid of the guilt, and it's there 24 hours a day. Maybe it's a physical weakness. You know, Paul had one of those. He called it a thorn in his flesh. Yeah, and it's just, it felt like it might have disqualified him, and he asked God three times to remove it, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. Or maybe it's just a failure, and you've been holding on to that. You can't accomplish your goals and everything you want to be because of the failure. And so that, for that reason, we never get the affirmation we need. We never get the significance and the value of being alive on this planet Earth. And we're either born with that wound in our heart, or, you know, we develop it through experiences in our lives. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about one condition of weakness. It's called the abandoned condition, and I want to describe the abandoned condition like this. It's a sense of being unwanted and worthless and unloved due to circumstances and people in our earlier lives that preyed on our frailty and have left us broken and weak. Do you relate at all with that? You know, there are many people in the Bible who have had, I can't get that off the screen, but all right, that's good. There were people like Hagar, Abraham's handmaid, you remember her, who was cast out into the desert and rejected by Sarah because she had a baby first. She couldn't have one. And so she was thrown out into the desert by herself. And there God met her, and she coined that beautiful phrase, "He sees me." You imagine what that was like? She was broken. There was Leah. You remember her? And her father, Laban, gave her in marriage to Jacob, but Jacob loved Rachel and rejected Leah. But after having her fifth child, and not being loved after getting it every time, she finally said, "I will praise the Lord." And God met her in her weakness. There was Moses. We know him. He ran away in the desert for 40 years tending sheep after he had killed an Egyptian. And some of his family said, "What are you doing?" And God even gave him a speech impediment. Another weakness. And yet God chose him as the leader to take the people out of Egypt. How about the woman at the well in the New Testament? Yeah. A wound in the heart that leaves a sense of being unloved. Five consecutive husbands. And couldn't find love. Until Jesus decided to take a different way north and pass through Samaria and meet her at the well. And give her the living water that satisfied that spiritual thirst. So there are many examples of abandonment, of a wound in the heart, I call it, that leaves a sense of being an unwanted, worthless, unloved, somebody's trash, leaving us disqualified for any service as far as God is concerned. Now, I wonder if there's anybody in this room besides me who felt that way. We've never experienced that condition of abandonment. Well, I got news for you. It's right there. God collects other people's trash. You agree? Amen? I'm thankful for that. Because he's a master at creating beauty from ashes. I found one such character in the Bible who, considered by his family and his tribe to be just that, trash. His name was Jephthah, And for the rest of our time this morning, I want us to take an examination on this personality named Jephthah and how he mishandled his weakness for a while, and then how God handled him the right way, and then used his weakness, get this, and his deficiencies to transform him as the one who would save his nation. In the book of Judges, chapter 11, we have the story of Jephthah. We find this interesting judge. He considered himself to be insignificant because he was born into weakness. And first, he was an illegitimate child, it says in verse 1. Strike 2, he was the son of a prostitute, a barmaid, if you will. Strike 3, he was raised in an atmosphere of hatred and cruelty and violence, mentioned there in verse 2. But it didn't make any difference to God. But he was going to use him. So let's think about that. Let's dwell on that for a while. Grew up as a rejected child, deprived of love, was abandoned. Someone said that the child is the father of the adult. What does that mean? Well, meaning that the good and the bad things that do happen to us in childhood can produce a person that you become as an adult. If someone is rejected and unloved as a child, then that insecure child becomes a memory that constantly interferes with your adult life. The memories can become like a thorn in the flesh, as Paul says. And the weakness keeps surfacing throughout life, interfering with the person that you want to become, but you can't. If you look at Judges 11:2, Jephthah's stepmother, it says, bore many sons, but then Jephthah's father had a relationship with a prostitute, and Jephthah was born. Now, his father took him in to the family, and he grew up in a crowded household of stepbrothers, half-brothers, and he was the target of their cruelty. Constantly. You're the son of a prostitute. You aren't wanted here. Why don't you get out of here? And he was abandoned. And the Bible says, you know, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Well, he was thinking those lies, and that's the man he had become. Worthless. So he built up this wall of anger and violence around his weakness, and for a while, he stuffed it, as I'm sure most of us do. He was insecure as a child, but when he was a teenager, he started to fight that insecurity in his own strength, and he turned to rebellion. Verse 3 says, so Jephthah fled from his brothers and settled in the land of Tob, where a group of adventurers gathered around him and followed him. Now, that's a nice translation because actually the Hebrew calls these adventurers worthless men who followed each other around, creating havoc in the neighborhood. In his mind, he was told he was worthless, so he gathered worthless people around him, and they did worthless things. His abandonment was handled in such a way that it made him believe that he was worthless. Was it true? No, of course not. But he believed it. And on that belief, he then gained a reputation for being a fighter. Chapter 11, verse 1 calls him a mighty warrior. That was another way of saying he liked to take out his anger and beat up people. Little army he had around him probably was a band of mercenaries they could be hired to assassinate or kill. And so he decided to deal with his insecurity by fighting, much like a bully. Some of you kids probably know in school, right? They're insecure. They feel inferior, so they feel they got to beat you up along with their friends behind them. It's that kind of feeling that so many of us grow up with. And then something happened. God found Jephthah in the trash can. Verse 4 says that when the Ammonites made war on Israel, the elders of Gilead came and they asked to protect him. Would you protect us? And look at his answer in verse 7. I think I have it on the screen right there. Jephthah said to them, "Didn't you hate me and drive me from my father's house? Why do you come to me now when you're in trouble?" Sound familiar? I mean, where were you when I needed you? Where were you when my father paid no attention to me? Where were you when my stepmother and my stepbrother said, "We don't want you. You're garbage. Get out of our lives." He had a lot of baggage, didn't he? He had a very sensitive nerve, a weakness, around which he built a wall of macho-type actions. But inside, he was weak. He had a wound that wouldn't heal. He had a childhood where the father of the angry man came forth in his personality. I can understand, and I'm sure you can understand too. Sometimes we give ourselves an excuse, you know, to go bad. You know, I got cheated out of a normal childhood. Nobody loved me, therefore I have nothing to give, and I'll go where I'm accepted. And maybe I'm just destined to be worthless, so that's what I'll be. I'll just be worthless. Or maybe you're raising a son or a daughter or a grandson or a granddaughter, taking on that abandoned feeling themselves, and they're hanging out with the wrong crowd right now, and they're feeling angry, they're feeling defiant, and they're landing up in the principal's office this year and the police station next year. I feel abandoned. I feel disqualified. You feel that way? You begin to think it's too late. God can't do anything with me. I'm the abandoned one. Can't do anything with my family. I've got news for you. He's still in the business of saving people who don't deserve it. Amen? The Bible calls it grace. I always spell it G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. We didn't deserve it. It's a gift. And so here it is. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power. Look at this now. My power is made perfect in weakness. Think about it. My power is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And that's what Jephthah was going to learn in chapter 11, verse 29. The Lord's Spirit came in and empowered Jephthah. So if God can come upon Jephthah's wounded heart and filling his abandonment with divine power, he can do it for you and he can do it for me. You ever hear of Johnny Erickson? God took her broken neck that put her in a wheelchair for the rest of her life and made her an inspiration for hundreds of thousands of people in wheelchairs. If he can do it for her, he can do it for you and for me. If you choose, you want to replace a bitter past with a better life? If you're willing to admit your weakness. God's grace opens up opportunities for his strength to transform your weakness. In verse 5, look at it. God brings to Jephthah the opportunity here to leave his worthless life and start trusting God to command the armies of Israel. An impossible task? Yeah, but you know what? God loves impossible tasks because then he gets the glory. We can't boast in it. He gave him a choice, however. God said, you can live out your life in bitterness and anger, fighting for your own sense of significance by raiding villages like a criminal, or you can surrender your past to God. You can embrace the opportunity that's ahead of you right now that he lays before you to build his kingdom out of a wounded heart, become a person of significance and value in God's eyes. The choice is yours. Choose his grace. No matter how lousy your breaks are, and how they've been in your life, God will never leave you in a trap situation of weakness. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation, what? Always make a way of escape. Yeah. By using a wounded heart, to do the impossible, if you're willing to take it. Like they say, God cleans his fish after he catches them. I have a foster brother who is proof of this. He spent his first 12 years of his life growing up in a family of 6 siblings with 2 alcoholic parents who abandoned them. And he was headed down that path of bitterness and possible violence until one day God brought him to my parents' door. He had befriended my older brother and from that point on never wanted to go home. He was always hanging around. My parents started to wonder. And after a while, they'd offered him grace by letting him sleep at our house, and he never wanted to leave until they found out the situation of neglect and abuse going on in his own home. So parents went to our church, and our church got in touch with Fort Lee Christian Home in Fort Lee, New Jersey, and got all 6 kids adopted into adopted Christian homes. When we moved out of the inner city of Boston into the suburbs, George moved to the suburbs with us, and he embraced the faith that was demonstrated in our home by our parents. He accepted Christ at Camp Pinebrook, which is out here in Pennsylvania, because grace opened up an opportunity for him to transform his wound into God's glory. And I mean that sincerely, because George brought his own wounded heart before God, like Paul. God didn't remove the thorn in the flesh, his abandoned condition. No, he transformed it. And in his weakness, because of that weakness, he was made strong. There he is. We're having a good time there. Some years ago. He's a great guy. I love him. He became a pastor. Yeah, he went to Christian college, graduated from that, went to Bible school. Served in the CNMA church for 30 years. More importantly, he didn't let the abandonment prey upon his weakness. He turned that weakness into ministry. How? By taking in foster kids into their home for years. He even took his mom, who was a dying alcoholic still, into his home to nurture her. You see, you can wallow in your weakness, okay? If that's what you want to do. You can deny your weakness if that's what you want to do. You can hide your weakness if that's what you want to do. Or you can let God glorify your weakness. And follow God who transforms a broken home into a palace. Because that's what he does. Jephthah could have said to God, you know, don't do me any favors, God, all right? Where were you when I needed you? But instead, God just stopped him in his tracks and gave him a choice in his weakness. God's power is perfected in weakness. You see, God's grace delivers us also from this worthless to the significant. If you look at verse 9, Jephthah addressed the elders of Gilead. And this is what he said. So, you bring me back home to fight the Ammonites, and God gives them to me, I'll be your head. Is that right? Do I hear you correctly? I mean, can you imagine the look on his face, the attitude in his heart? A couple of points to mention on that note. It almost sounds as if Jephthah can't believe that what he's hearing in the voices of his elders. You want me? You want me? After all these years of rejecting me and abandoning me, you want me now? And all I need to do is put my past aside and receive God's grace, put my trust in God, not my own strength, to give me the Ammonites? And if I do, then I will hold an honorable position in my homeland for the first time in my life? God is good. That's redemption. God gets the glory for bringing beauty out of ashes? Yeah. He loves to do it. Give him a chance. He's in the business of taking people that society pushes aside as worthless, and he brings out the best in them as only God can do. And the only thing you have to decide is to stop blaming others, take responsibility for your own actions, embrace your weakness, and forsake your past, and God will bring you back home. God gave Jephthah the victory. When it's all about God, and turn over to God all those negative things in the past. Just turn them over and let him use your past to build your future. That's all he's asking you to do. Let him put you in the place of honor. He exalts the humble, the Bible says. When we go down in weakness, God lifts us up in his outstretched arms on the cross of Calvary. What did Paul say? When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? But you have to understand what's going on here. We humble ourselves and provide an empty space that God can fill. That's when things start to happen. I remember Elmer Klein. Oh, Elmer Klein. Elmer's parents abandoned him when he was about 10 years old. He went to live with his grandmother, but she was too weak to take care of him at that time, so he was sent to live at a place called Arden Shore Home for Boys in Lake Bluff, Illinois, right next to the Lake Michigan. And I was his house parent. You see, I was going to seminary at the time, and I found this job of working at Arden Shore Home for Boys, living there in a small apartment with Holly, and we were house parents to 7 or 8 boys. Elmer was one of them. He was angry. He was an angry boy. God doesn't really want me. In fact, he kicked his foot right through my guitar one day. Well, we took him to church with us. I was teaching a high school class over at the church, and one day I said, as he was in the group, I said, "You know, you can spend the rest of your life, Elmer, kicking down doors, putting your fist through the wall, my guitar, but only Jesus can turn you away from a worthless life. So you can blame somebody else, or you can take responsibility right now and let God make something out of you." Well, not only did he accept Jesus Christ into his heart that day, but a few years later, he married a Christian girl in the youth group and became the father of three beautiful children, and he's on our Facebook to this very day. Is your weakness going to destroy you or develop you? I know a girl with a port wine stain right below her eye. And I asked her one day, "You know, I said, you could probably use makeup if you wanted to cover it up." She goes, "If God put it there and doesn't remove it, I'm not going to cover it. I'll just tell people it was God's kiss." God's kiss. Yeah. Yeah, just there it is. God turning a weakness into his glory. What a beautiful story. God's grace, that's what it does. It heals our weakness. Jephthah had a wounded heart. And a wounded heart is a terrible infirmity to live with. He was like that blade of grass, you know, so weak and frail, subject to all the elements, like the Bible says. He had many unresolved conflicts in his life with his family, his homeland. But look at verse 9. He says to the elders, "So you bring me back home? And if you do..." I mean, he was delighted that God was urging his own people to accept him, bring him back home. God healed, was healing his weakened heart. So instead, what happened? Instead of continuing to attack his home, blame his home, now he protects his home. In verse 12, instead of bullying them like he used to, he goes to the enemy and he offers peace and compromise. That's what he did with Jephthah. That's what happened. And that's what he will do with you and me if we let him. He will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers to the children. Reconciliation, redemption. The Bible's full of stories about the men and women being restored to their families. Joseph being restored to his brothers who sold him into slavery. Remember what he said? "What you meant for evil, God meant for good." That's what I want to be. That's the kind of attitude I want God to perform in my life. He did a miracle because he decided to stop blaming everybody for his weakness. You remember Moses restored to his family after Egypt had ripped them apart. Do you remember the prodigal son in the New Testament returned to his father after he confessed his weakness in a pig pen? He had to go to the pig pen in order to realize it. Pig pens, not a bad place if you come out of it a different person. You remember the Gadarene demoniac? He was a tough one. Returned to his home, though, after he'd been cutting himself in a graveyard for years, testifying that he was a slave to the legions of demons who tortured him day in and day out. There's a wounded heart. But then he goes back home and he tells everyone what God has done. Jephthah faced his weakness and he stopped blaming God and family. He took responsibility for his weakness. He renounced his anger. God sent him home to his family to look them in the face and say this, "I'm finished attacking you. I'm home to protect you. That's powerful. I wonder if you have some fences to mend in your own relationships. Some wounds in your heart to heal. Your family may not even be around anymore. It's all right, you take it out on your dog or your church or your boss. Don't carry your wounds. God's grace is the one who heals your weaknesses. And God sends new power into those weak places. It says there in verse 10 to 11, he's a new man. He's got a new walk. He's got a new talk. He's refusing now to hide behind his tough, you know, guy mask, you know. And he does two things in verse 10. It says he repeated all of his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Whoa. I'd like to hear that conversation. It's not recorded. I wish it were. He went and talked to the Lord. Yeah, the Lord, the one that he was kind of ignoring throughout his life. So he goes to Mizpah, and he has a conversation with the Lord. He went before the Lord. Maybe it went like this. All right, Lord, I quit trying to prove my own significance, all right? Your grace is enough. Your love is healing my broken heart. I'm yours. It isn't going to depend on my own strength anymore. And I don't have to prove myself anymore. I humbly come before you, my Lord. And then in verse 11, he has a new heart. God is good. I mean, I accept my weakness, and my deliverance from the past is possible. And then Jephthah, he sends messengers to the Ammonite king with a question. Do you see what the question is? You know, it's like, how much do you want me to beat you up? No, he didn't say that. That man's gone now. What does he do? What do you have against us? Excuse me? Is this Jephthah? Yeah, what do you have against us? Show me where we've done wrong to you. Yeah, that's what he says. That you have attacked our country. There's an amazing change here. Brutality is replaced with diplomacy. Where's the brute force? He speaks to his enemies. He says, what do we do to deserve this? We asked permission to walk through your land years ago. We did you no harm. We treated you with respect, and this is what we get? Where's the bully in him? It's gone. Is this the same man? He's speaking and acting out of weakness and out of brokenness before the Lord. A new power is being released in its place. But I have to add one thing right there at the end, that God's grace doesn't prevent the weak in condition. It does overcome it. It's easy to fall right back into it, so you have to be careful to walk in humility. The weakness is there. Constantly, we need to draw upon God's strength in our weakness. Stop depending on the Spirit. You're going to fall back into the weakness. You see in verse 30, Jephthah vowed that if God gave him the victory, he would offer up to God the first person that walked out of his door when he got home. What is he trying to do here? Well, he's trying to use the old way and twist God's arm to get what he wants by making a foolish vow. His daughter was the one that walked through the door. And I believe he had to offer her up to serve in the temple, which meant that she would have to remain an unmarried virgin for the rest of her life. It wasn't necessary to do that. For that moment, I think he just stopped his walk in humility. Vows should never be made to twist God's arm, to purchase favor with God. It just goes to show how weak we can be, even when we want to do God's will. We don't always see things correctly. We We make unwise decisions. But God, in His amazing, amazing grace, still uses us. Amen? Amen. You know, there's a list in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 10 and 11. Have you ever looked at it? You and I are somewhere in that list. Rebels, gossips, crooks, liars, brawlers, Pharisees, playboys, dropouts, drug addicts. It's all there. That's the way God found Jephthah, and that's the way He found you and me. But if we are willing to admit that God is good, I am weak, God is able, He will lift you to the level of son and daughter, bring you in, wash your wounds, change your direction. Most importantly, the Holy Spirit will help you in your weakness. Romans 8:26. He will help you in your weakness. Because you see, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything that we should even ask or imagine. Ephesians 3:20. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Okay, I'm finished. But I want you to do something. I want you to lift up your wound. If the Holy Spirit is revealing it to you, I want you to lift up your wound right now to Him. That affliction, that weakness that disqualifies you, and say to Jesus, I will lift this up and let you use my past to build my future. Are you ready for that? What hindered me by your grace will now transform me. Amen. Father, you hear the prayers of your people. You hear the heart cry. You hear the agony, the guilt, the treachery, all of those things, Lord, that have disqualified us. But now, to your honor and your glory, we give it to you. And like Jephthah, transform us so that we can be used to build the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
We trust you were challenged by the word of the Lord and invite you to join us again. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry in Montrose, come worship with us at 9:30 every Sunday along Lake Avenue.